Who knew a hymn written just a little bit after Martin Luther went off to glory could be so timely and so speak as much to our generation, I think, as it had even to any other generation before. With God's grace and peace, we enter into this new year longing to give God our thanks and also to receive from Him all the gifts, all the guidance, all the grace and help that we need to get through our situations. So today, as we approach this Epiphany Sunday, we look at this story, the gospel story of the wise men, the magi, coming to bring their gifts to Jesus to worship Him. And we look at that in our own lives, and we want to talk about how to bring the light for everyone. And it's as if this whole idea of light has been what we focused on this past Advent season leading up to Christmas. But it's as if God, Christmas was really all about, this idea of Epiphany is really all about God saying, enough. Enough with darkness. Enough with people stumbling around. Enough with people struggling. Enough with people inflicting pain on one another through their sins and selfishness. Enough. He says to us in Isaiah 60, verse 2, our Old Testament reading, arise and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. It said earlier, behold, darkness will cover the earth, and thick darkness all the people. God knew that the darkness of sin was going to settle over us. It was going to darken our thinking, making what is supposed to be good, something that we actually would be, turn away from. What was supposed to be light, something that we actually find darkness. And what's supposed to be darkness, we actually prefer. We're drawn to that darkness. We're drawn to the edges and the shadows and what we can get away with. And what the world whispers to us is the really good stuff. That darkness covers over our thinking. And it covers over the world so that what should be up is down and on it goes. But God says enough. Enough of the darkness. Enough of people being confused and bumping around and suffering. Here is my light. Here is my son. And that's what He's offering to us. And we get to come to His light. We come ourselves, not just the wise men, but we make the trip. You know, they say that, you know, wise men still seek Him and all those, cute sayings. But we hear in the epistle reading today that God is offering to us the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, we have presents under the tree, and sometimes they surprise us. They're not candy, they're cars, right? Or we may have gotten the greatest, latest phone or tech or gift or whatever it is, so that we think like, oh, this is the best. I couldn't possibly need another thing. Generally, we need electricity to plug it in. Generally, we need money to pay off the bill. Generally, we need the instructions to figure out how to set it up and use it fully. And then also almost 100% of the time, pretty much everything I've ever gotten as a gift, and I bet it's true for you too, it either wears out or we outgrow it, or we just discover that, wow, now the newest version 2 years later is even shinier and more wonderful to me. But this world has yet to find anything that's comparable to, that replaces this unsearchable richness of Christ. That He speaks love to every single person and every single generation. That He offers grace and guidance to every one of us in every generation. That He has mercy and forgiveness. And that He strengthens our faith and says, you don't walk alone. You don't face this situation by yourself. The unsearchable riches of Christ, which give us boldness. Can you imagine? We do it every Sunday. Perhaps you do it every day when you pray before your meals or before the day ends. But you and I have the boldness to speak to the God of this universe, the maker of all 13.8 billion light years, whatever all of this stuff is, the maker of it all. We have the boldness to come and pray, our Father. We have the boldness to come, the confidence that when we pray, the God of the universe hears us and moves and acts. The God of this universe knows our sorrows and wipes our tears away. The God of this universe knows us by name and wants us to be with him in his everlasting light in heaven. This richness of Jesus is the grace that he poured out for us on the cross by his perfect life, by his unimaginable suffering, and by his beautiful and powerful resurrection. That's the way we have the boldness and the access. It's because of Jesus' sake, for his sake, in his name, that you and I have that confidence in our faith that we can come before him. And not only do we ourselves receive that light, but we have the chance to share the light, to share it. Share it in the simplest of ways. Little candles or Christmas lights we put up at our home. Share it in the way that we shine a little bit of light in this world through the kindness that we do. You ever noticed how when you're out shopping, let's just pick Walmart for today, all right? You're out there, probably 1 in 10 checkers will look you in the eye. The rest of them are just earning their paychecks, scanning the stuff, get on the way, off they go. But there's a few of them out there that are just sort of hungry. Does anybody out here care? Does anybody out here notice? Has anybody out here got any light in them? And when you and I look them in the eye and thank them, when we wish them a happy new year, when we offer and treat them with respect and dignity, it's just amazing how much people perk up, how much they shine, how much a smile can carry someone through. And that may be in the shopping areas, it may be in our workplaces, maybe in our neighborhoods, might be in our own homes, among our own loved ones. But when we share the light of love, the light of grace, the light of God's closeness to us, the unsearchable riches that we have, when we share that light, we are helping others to come into that light too. It's just a little hint, a little glimpse that God notices and God cares. And those little reminders may be all it needs to turn someone's heart back towards him. We share that light. Isaiah said it so wonderfully. Nations shall come to your light, and kings even to the brightness of your rising. Other people notice. Other people are impacted. Now, this little candle does not shine all that brightly at the moment, but I promise you, come back here in 12 hours, come back with all the lights out, and you could stand in the very back and you'd see this lighting up the way. They say you can see a single candle over 2.5 miles on a dark, clear night. And that bit of light, when you and I shine, is what draws others. I want what she has. I want that peace and that lightness of spirit. I want that hope. I want that strength to get through the trial just like he is or she is. The nations will come to your light and to your brightness, for it will be God who shine on us. God saying, enough, here is my light, and here is my love. So we can be like those wise men too. We can come and worship. It's interesting, they came to King Herod. King Herod really had no interest in going and worshiping Jesus, though that's what he said. What he really had interest in doing was going and killing him, as we find out just a few verses later in Matthew chapter 2, because Jesus was the one born King of the Jews. King Herod had weaseled his way and bought his way and murdered his way into that position. He's not the real king. Jesus is. And we know that. And the wise men knew that. And we have that boldness again that we can come, that they would listen to the king and disregard him. And they who made such a long journey, they who were guided by that star, when they saw this great treasure, they knew, as much as they were kings or wise men from their own country, they knew that the greatest king was laying before them in that manger. They knew that the wisest and strongest king was laying there in flesh as that helpless little baby. And they who were so rich were willing to give their gifts to this one who was willing to become poor for our sake by emptying out the riches of heaven and coming and entering into our poverty and our need to give us light. That's why he gives us confidence. Confidence to worship. Confidence to draw close for strength. Confidence to share with others as we shine, as Lisa's encouraging us to consider doing, bringing someone in an upcoming Sunday. Confidence that he hears us, and one day we will be in that place where this little candle and any light of this world won't even be able to penetrate the brightness of the light that is the presence of God that we will live in for all eternity. May God strengthen us and help us walk with him in his light from now until then. Amen. And I invite you to join me now in our confessing our words of faith. You have the Nicene Creed in your worship folder on the back cover of your hymnal or on the screens. Let's declare our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.